This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Ball Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Saluting all you veterans and welcoming you to what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program. We're Idaho Sports Talk. We're Prater and the Ball Game. I'm Johnny Ball Game, JP, pressing buttons, running the board in the Data Tell studio. I'm talking really fast right now. And my partner, he looks terrific in a Utah Utes hoodie he's wearing in the studio, and he's ready to go today. The big fella, Michael Forrest Prater. What's up, Prater?
It's such a beautiful hoodie. You thought it was Eastern Washington University because it's got a big giant hawk on it. We won't explain that. We won't get into that. Ball game way to open up the show. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for a lot of different people in this country. And guess what? We got a busy, busy, busy day of sports.
We do, and we're going to be saluting our veterans throughout the program, Prater. I know that's very important to all of us here at the KTIK team and this building in general. So we got that. We got veterans. We got voodoo dolls. We got Boise State returning to the blue for the first time in almost a month. We got two mega prep games that are going to go on tomorrow night around this valley, Prater. And did I even mention, oh, yeah, there's an NFL game tonight. I know your hockey and your Golden Knights and your Utah Jazz are playing tonight, so that's what Prater's going to be doing.
Ravens-Dolphins? I suppose you're going to be watching Ravens-Dolphins.
I'm watching Ravens-Dolphins, and I'm going to watch a college football game we'll get into a little bit later. You guys, we want you to be a part of this show, and today, maybe a little more so than typically, we want you to call and text. We'll start our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline at 208-424-9300. Text that same number to our Cloverdale Plumbing text line because we want to know, and we talked about this today, for saluting the vets on Veterans Day. If you are one, you know, we'd like you to text us and so we can salute you on this show. You can say whatever you want in the text, but I think we have a decent amount of veterans who listen to Idaho Sports Talk on a somewhat regular basis, Prater, and we would love to hear from them today.
I've said this on the show many, many times, and this is one of the days I feel very, very guilty to be an American. It's really hard to feel guilty to be an American, but the Prater family history when it comes to military duty is pretty sad. About 100 years ago, my great-grandfather, Forrest Prater, who I'm named after, Forrest Prater.
Yes!
He spent like a month at a military kids camp in Pennsylvania 100 years ago. A military summer kids camp.
Sounds fun.
And that's the entire history of military duty in the Prater family, which isn't very big. My dad was an only child. My mom had one sister, I have one brother. It's not a big one. Even beyond that, it's not big, but Ball game. I need some military love because my family doesn't have it right now.
You know what's weird? Because I definitely can feel where you're coming from, and I respect it. I did not serve, but I'm kind of the other one. Like, I'm in a family of a bunch of folks who served, and I didn't. My brother served in the Navy. Both my grandfathers served in World Wars. And, all over my family, it's decorated with people. So I have cousins right now who are serving as we speak. I wasn't one of them. I never went into that. I can't say I'm asthmatic, or I used to be. And I remember when I was even thinking about following my brother into the Navy, and I had a lot to think about. And once they found out that you know, I would probably need an inhaler if it came down to it, they were like, sorry, bud, you're going to have to do something else. So nice. Sports radio was a close second. All kidding aside.
You found your calling, Ball game. Not everybody can go out there in the military. You couldn't do it. The whole Prater family couldn't take care of business, but Forrest Prater actually beat Annie Oakley in a six-gun shooting contest.
Oh, get off it.
No, it's true. Oh, it's like actually true. Prater. It's documented.
That is the bigger name drop than anything I've ever went with, PZ.
Oakley?
He's dropping Annie Oakley that his great-grandfather kicked Annie Oakley's ass in a shoot-off. That's like me saying my great-grandfather beat Babe Ruth in a home run contest. Like, get the hell out of here, Forrest.
But did it happen? Mine actually happened. Back in the day that she used to do these touring six shooting shows, these traveling carny shows, and she came through Twin Falls County one year, and my grandfather, Forrest Prater.
Forrest stepped it up.
He was the sheriff of Twin Falls County for 10 years.
Forrest was?
From 1925 to 1935. It's all based on that kid camp at military duty when he was a teenager. Oh, ball game. It's so sad, the Prater family. We need to contribute to America better, but maybe we're contributing to football and basketball and Boise State and right here on Idaho Sports Talk.
Well, Prater, you're a Hall of Fame sports writer.
Well.
Probably the most known sports writer in the history of this state.
In my mind.
You didn't exactly fail in life. But no, yeah, hey, maybe there's a future of service in the Prater family at some point down the road.
It won't be my children. I promise you, it won't be my children.
Maybe it's grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Prater, we still have Logan, the voodoo doll, in the Data Tell studio.
Let's poke Logan right off the bat.
JP drowned our doll in coffee today.
Well, not quite drowned. I just kind of immersed him a little bit. He wasn't drowned.
I went first yesterday. JP's already drowned Logan, our voodoo doll, because we're trying to get Utah State to lose a game, which Boise State needs to have happen. Ball game, take your turn. Where do you want to put a pin in Logan to start the day?
You know what? Let's put a pin right in Logan's mouth.
Ooh.
Okay? Logan, shut up. lose a game with Utah State for Utah State, and then we can put you in the Data Tell studio and you'll sit someplace and just be a story for the rest of time. But yeah, put it right in his mouth. Logan, I don't want to hear from you, and I'm a motor mouth. When a motor mouth doesn't want to hear from you, that's even worse. Logan, get off it.
Done deal. It's a
way
done
to set
deal.
The tone. I love it.
All right, so we got Logan. We got a lot going on. We're saluting our vets today. Tomorrow night, Boise State's going to take on Wyoming on the blue, Prater. Their all-time home winning percentage is well documented. I'll just go back to the year 2000. Only Oklahoma, the Sooners, have a better winning percentage at home than Boise State. And this is an updated from Joe Nickel, the game notes this week. Boise State is 123-13 on the blue since the year 2000. That's 90% of the time they win. Only Oklahoma at 91% is better. But that mojo, these stats, all this is a stupid piece of paper with a stat on it that says Boise State in a record. Because this year, heck no, they've been anything but automatic on the blue.
1-3. 1-3 on the blue with a three-game losing streak, and that is not Boise State-like. You have to go all the way back to 96 and 97, the beginning of the FBS era for Boise State football. Part of your stats, don't forget, that number is even more impressive when you consider that Boise State lost, they only actually won three of their first 12 home games as an FBS program. Their first year in 96, they went 1-6 at home. Second year as an FBS program, they go 2-3 at home. Then all hell breaks loose, and they start winning all the time, every time. And then this year, they beat UTEP in a home opener, and they've lost three in a row ball game. It is unprecedented. It is not good. I think it's going to impact tomorrow night. It's a late-night Friday night game. It's a championship semifinal weekend for high school sports tomorrow night. We're going to talk about that at 5 o'clock. It's the conference record. Wyoming is not sexy. It's going to be the first cold game. We've talked about all these different elements. It might be a little bit of a sleepy game tomorrow night, but yeah. Boise State plays its final two home games over the next 8 days, and they absolutely have to win these games. It's non-negotiable ball game. If they're going to do anything with this season, on the football field in terms of a bowl game or off the football field in terms of the public relations battle with Boise State fans, they must win these next two games in 8 days.
Yeah, I want to continue the conversation of this program not being rebuilt, not being built or reloaded, just continue the conversation of Boise State playing and acting like Boise State, a massive conference favorite each and every year. I don't want to keep going back like we've done this year right here on Idaho Sports Talk. Like, we have a week where, oh my gosh, the mustard's back on the hot dog, Prater. Look at the win in Provo. And the whole sky is falling on the blue. They just got smoked by Air Force or whoever else you want to throw in there for one of their four losses. Like, I don't want to have that conversation again on Monday and say, Boise State went, done, lost, fell asleep on a Friday night to stinking Wyoming, and here we are again. Where do we go? We're 5-5. Like, no, move this thing on. Bronco Nation needs this. Non-negotiable. This game has to be won tomorrow night. I won't even say it has to be won a particular way. Just win the game. Like you said, it might be nasty. We'll see. There's going to be over 40,000 people possibly in this valley watching live football tomorrow, whether it's the preps or right there on the blue. You got to win this one. You got to further the conversation, because if you do win this one, then all of a sudden, Saturday night, ho, 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 a lot of people turning on that television to root for San Jose at home to kick Logan, our voodoo doll, and Utah State's butt, Prater.
We'll let Logan and the voodoo doll and everybody's little pin poking, we'll let that take care of itself. Boise State, over these next 8 days, piece of cake. There's no way they're going to lose. I'm going to give you a little love right now, Bronco Nation. There's no way it's going to happen. Boise State against Wyoming, 14-1 overall, 7-0 at home. New Mexico coming into town next week. Boise State, 10-1 overall, 5-1 at home. We know that one dreaded loss a few years ago. The back-to-back losses under Brian Harsin in November. Home losses to New Mexico and Air Force. That was a blip. Earlier this year was a little bit of a blip. I don't see it happening. Boise State is going to dominate these next two games, and all the conversation is going to turn to San Diego State on Black Friday.
I think so, too. Yeah, you're going to close out that season trying to be 8-4, and at that point, trying to still compete. And there's even a window where they could host the Mountain West Championship game. A few other things have to happen. I don't think Andy Avalos and his staff care much. I mean, they just want to get in this game, win this league, get to the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, and take that free appearance on Kimmel one night and say, haga laga, we're Boise State type of thing, Prater. But I think, yes, if they get through these two games, it's on to San Diego or Carson, a Black Friday edition of Wake Up with the Broncos.
JP, have you booked Jimmy Kimmel yet?
I'm working on Jimmy Kimmel, as a matter of fact.
We are.
I have not had any luck with it yet. He's a big guy.
We put JP in charge of booking Jimmy Kimmel sometime over the next month. And JP promised he's going to make it happen.
I'm going to make it happen. I've got some feelers out for some other big-time celebrities, but
Don't name drop. Focusing on Jimmy Kimmel here.
Jimmy Kimmel's going to...
I mean, as far as I can tell, you're 0-2 on Henry Winkler and Snoop Dogg.
Yes, but I'm still working on Snoop.
Oh, there's hope.
I haven't
for Snoop.
Given up hope on Snoop yet.
Oh, nice.
Fonzie, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Fonzie said no, and Snoop said it depends on what I'm doing at 3 o'clock
basically
in the afternoon.
Basically, whatever my attitude is on a specific day, yes.
I know what his attitude is.
We need Jeremy McNichols, his nephew, as they consider themselves, to have like a 3-teeter game in the NFL, and then we get Snoop back and say, hey, come on and talk about your boy here in Boise. I mean, that's the card we're playing with Snoop. I mean, him and Jeremy McNichols are very tight. So hopefully we can get that. Henry Winkler, I think you guys have had him before.
No,
JP, that's a goal for JP. But no, how cool, like JP's kids are walking around right now saying, hey, is your dad trying to book Snoop for a radio show? Of course he's not, because my dad is. That's a lot of street cred in your kitchen, bro.
I have a lot of street cred with my kids. They used to come home and say, did you talk to anybody famous today?
Yeah.
And every once in a while I'd say, yeah, we talked to so-and-so. Yeah.
I get that sometimes too, Prater.
Well, you tell people in advance.
Oh, damn you.
But you know somebody who we haven't talked to in a long time? Kellen Moore. I mean.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there. Yeah.
I didn't want to bring that up today. Johnny and I are actually getting along today. I didn't want to bring that up, but that's another time.
Yep, and we'll get him at some point. Actually, I'm not even going to say that because I don't want to say it and not get him, but we will. I know we will, guys.
Okay.
The mojo. Let's get it back on the blue, Bronco Nation. What do you think the crowd's going to be like tomorrow? You said maybe a sleepy Friday. Is it going to be kind of where it's been, a little more, a little less?
I think it's probably about 32 to 34 range. And I know they've been bouncing around between 34 and 36. They've been doing some good crowds. But Boise State also changes the attendance numbers like they did with basketball. So you can't compare it to what they've done in the past. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a good crowd. I think people are fired up. And we'll see what happens.
There's a game tonight, the Miami Dolphins, Baltimore Ravens, little Thursday night football. So adjust your fantasy teams accordingly. You're kind of on that home stretch in the fantasy football season. Let's bring on fantasy football professional Howard Bender. He's all over the place, and he's with us every Thursday. That's going to be next on Idaho Sports Talk. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. at KTIK.com, you get the true taste of Mexico. $25 gets you 50 in certificates at El Tenampa. Locations all over the place. That's this week's sweet deal. Remember that tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Fantasy football next.
Sports Radio The Ticket is your FM home of Boise State versus Wyoming. Friday night from Alberton Stadium. Bronco game day begins at 2, kickoff at 7. And Bronco game night with Prater and the ball game starts 45 minutes after the game. Boise State football on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Sports Radio The Ticket, saluting our veterans on this Veterans Day, especially some of our great listeners. Got a text from Greg Loper. Guys, retired Air Force after 20 years, a Seahawks fan, Johnny, served a year at an Air Force base in Greenland, 600 miles north of the Arctic Circle, 800 miles from the North Pole. That was probably a very cold assignment for Greg. Greg, thank you so much for your service, and thanks to all the veterans out there. Hope you guys have a great day today.
I love it. Appreciate you, JP. Let's get to the Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Welcome in one of our favorite guests. This guy does fantasy football for a living. Go to fantasyalarm.com, follow him at RotoBuzzGuy, read him in the New York Post, and listen to him on SiriusXM. He's Howard Bender, and Bender, welcome to the program. We got a game tonight. How's it going? You feeling the flow? In the Bender world?
The flow in the Bender world is going pretty well. You know, you get take a little time off in Vegas, rested, relaxed, ready to get back into it. Second half of the season kicks off tonight, guys. This is a nice, momentous time for the NFL.
Good point. He always drops the knowledge on this program, Prater. Let's start with Baltimore-Miami, the Thursday night game. What type of fantasy implications are coming with this? I don't think it's the worst game for fantasy stuff, Bender, but it's not the best either.
No, it's definitely not the best. But, you know, each team has, you know, certain holes that you can probably exploit, especially if you're going to play like a DFS showdown slate and just work off of this one game. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, you know, I mean, he's a no-brainer here for you. You know, doing it with his legs, doing it with his arms, too, which is even better. So they're riding high off of that victory last week, that comeback trail. So I like Lamar a lot. You got to love Marquise Hollywood Brown. This guy gets open downfield on a regular basis. And the cover corners for the Dolphins, not strong at all. And then Mark Andrews. Miami gives up some points to the tight end. Mark Andrews is as locked in as a red zone threat for Lamar Jackson to hit. On the other side, listen, I don't hate Myles Gaskin. I think he's definitely got some potential here. And then Mike Gesicki, the tight end. The Baltimore Ravens actually give up the second most fantasy points per game to the tight end position. So, you know, with the way, whether it's Brissett or whether it's Tua, because Tua is going to be a game time decision, that's definitely going to be a matchup that you're going to be able to exploit. So, you know, throw Gesicki into your lineups if you got him active.
I like that. Howard Bender, what do you make of Miami this year? Fantasy and in real life. They're 2-7. They've been a major disappointment. They've only scored 155 points on the season, so you know they don't have a lot of fantasy options. And Myles Gaskin, I mean, are you kidding me? I have no idea what I'm going to get from him every week. He's more of a roller coaster running back than I've seen this year. You said you like him tonight. I'll just bounce off that a little bit because he's been so inconsistent, Howard, Myles Gaskin. But you think he could find the end zone tonight?
I think there's a definite possibility. Brandon Williams, the nose tackle for the Ravens, he's questionable, so he's not going to be at 100%. We're seeing Gaskin. You know, I think one of the big things about the Dolphins that we worried about early on in the season was, you know, all the attention being paid to Tua, that this team really lacked an identity. And they weren't giving Gaskin the ball. But if you look at the game logs over the, you know, I'd say probably like the past 4 weeks maybe, Gaskin has gotten, you know, more snaps, more touches. They're using him in the passing game more, which is something that's definitely needed. So, you know, when you kind of wrap all of that up together and you're looking at the landscape of the running back position, if they're going to have Gaskin as their lead guy and you've got either Brissett or Tua out there who's checking down, they're doing design screens, it's just going to give him value in a PPR format. Do I absolutely love it? No. You know, give me a high-end running back any day of the week. But if you're sitting there struggling for a flex play, you could do a lot worse than Gaskin.
This is our favorite segment of the week, Howard Bender Fantasy Football with NewYorkPost.com, FantasyAlarm.com. Check out his podcast, Anti Up Podcast, and he'll answer every single question you send him on Twitter 100% guarantee on that one, right, Bender?
100%.
Nice.
Well, 99 maybe.
Let's dive into two big names, which typically don't have any questions attached to them. It could be an Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson kind of a weekend. I suppose if you have them on your roster, despite all the goofiness, you put him in the lineup, right?
Well, Russell Wilson, if he's going to be starting under center, yes. I'm no doubt about it. He's definitely a guy who, you know, should be in your starting lineup. He's already received clearance. Everything looks good for him. Aaron Rodgers, that's another touchy situation. If he plays, yes, you start him. But I do believe there's probably about a 50-50 shot right now for him because, I guess he needs more negative testing to come through because he is not a vaccinated player. So, you know, you could be playing without Aaron Rodgers again, so you might have to protect yourself in fantasy.
Wow. We'll keep an eye on that moving forward. Do you think that Ballgame and I had a quick little hot take together the other day that there's a small chance that the squirreliness in this deal, I mean, he may never play for Green Bay. Or is that too much of a stretch?
Who, Rodgers may never play again for Green
Bay? Yeah, we just think that he may just pout and go home and then find a new team next year. Are we out of our minds?
I don't know if you're out of your minds, but I don't see that happening. You know, I'll take that against me saying that Odell Beckham signs a prove-it deal with the Packers so that all of a sudden the tail end of the season, while Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Odell Beckham are all free agents, the three of them go in to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. I'm writing that one down a lot. You mentioned it as we opened up the segment, Howard Bender, FantasyAlarm.com, that we're in the second half of the season. In fantasy terms, dog term years, that we're getting into the stretch run before we dive into the playoffs here pretty quick. Does the strategy change at this point in the season for the general fantasy football owner?
Does the strategy change? No, not really. I think, you know, we've gotten enough of a picture here to see who's doing what and what we can expect. You know, a lot of people, you know, this isn't like baseball where, you know, the all-star break hits and you got guys who get hot for the second half. Football works obviously differently. So if you've been sitting there waiting around for Allen Robinson to come around finally and thinking, oh, well, you know, this could be great for the second half. No, erase that from your mind. You know, you've seen, you know, who's getting the snaps. You see who's getting the work. So barring any kind of a catastrophic injury, you know who you've got and you know what they're all about. So no more waiting on guys, no more game playing.
Fantasy football expert professional Howard Bender with us every Thursday. That guy's Fresh Deli Hotline, Prater in the Ballgame. All right, I'm going to give you a list of kind of the usual suspects of running backs who've been picked up in a lot of leagues the last week or so, Bender. Just quickly, just tell me who you like the most of this. I'm going to go Devonta Murray in Baltimore. He plays tonight, by the way. Jordan Howard. We've had two straight weeks of Jordan Howard end zone sightings in Philly, Bender. And then I'll just kind of lump in an Adrian Peterson or a Jeremy McNichols for our local audience here in Tennessee. Of those backs, Howard, who do you think is going to help fantasy owners the most during this stretch run?
Wow, you know, I didn't think that we could get a really gross question in fantasy, but that one really kind of, yeah, that's got some grime and grease on it. Yuck.
Thank you.
I mean, out of those guys there, listen, Devonta Freeman's the one that you probably have to pay the most attention to, especially going up against Miami. He's gotten into the end zone in the last 3 weeks. Still no Latavius Murray here. So Freeman is definitely going to be the guy who's going to lead this backfield again. Or you're not going to get big yardage out of him, but you know, once they get inside the green zone, the Ravens are not shy about utilizing him or Le'Veon Bell, with obviously Freeman being the preferred guy at that spot. Jordan Howard, listen, I think when the Eagles are playing from behind, I think we're going to end up seeing less of Jordan Howard. But if they can stay competitive, you know, listen, the guy's going to be a red zone threat. Another one who's not going to pick up a lot of yardage because he's got the mobility of a refrigerator. But when they come to the goal line there, when they get into the red zone, you know, he's going to see some carries. So, you know, I guess you could probably go with those two guys as your one and two. Adrian Peterson, I don't know, man, 10, 12 carries at the most probably on a regular basis. I can't. I just can't get behind this dude. Not anymore.
No. He needs to get into the end zone for it to be a productive fantasy start. And how many times is Adrian Peterson going to get in the end zone over the next 6-7 weeks? Who knows? Howard, we love talking to you. You're the best. Enjoy Thursday night football tonight. And I hope you have a wonderful Veterans Day. We're kind of having fun on Veterans Day on this show and giving a big salute to everybody out there who served. And we appreciate you coming on, Howard.
Absolutely, and thank you to your service for all you veterans out there who are listening in. Really appreciate everything that you do for us. And, boys, always a pleasure to get to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, great stuff, as always, bro. Prater, yes or no, does Myles Gaskin get into the end zone tonight for the Dolphins?
No.
Yes or no, does wide receiver Jaylen Waddle get into the end zone tonight for the Dolphins?
No.
Okay, yes or no, does Devontae Freeman get into the end zone tonight for the Ravens?
No.
Okay. George Helani, he's coming up with us next. He talked on the coaches show with Bob Beeler the other day, Prater, and he's going to have a preview of that show tonight. He's going to be talking about it. And Craig Bull on the last time Wyoming played on the blue. Both those coming up next. Definitely don't miss them here on Idaho Sports Talk. Quick mention of Zamzos and Zamzos Recharger. It's an incredible lawn food specifically designed to prepare Treasure Valley lawns for fall and winter. So go into a Zamzos, got 13 locations, buy Recharger, use it, and then when the spring comes out, spring sprung, you're going to have the best looking lawn on your street. Zamzos. Nobody knows like Zamzos.
Sports Radio The Ticket. Idaho's first and original all sports station. Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM. The Ticket. From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
We've got Bronco Focus with Bob Beeler coming up in just about 10 minutes or so. Bob's got four keys to a Bronco victory against Wyoming tomorrow night. Last week, Bob was 4 for 4. And that is why you listen to Idaho Sports Talk. Bob's going to try to go 8 for 8 coming up. But first, Bob has Coach Avalos Weekly tonight on 670 KBOI. Bob's going to be joined by Coach Avalos, linebacker Riley Wimpy, and running back George Helani, who says success in Boise State's run game, it starts with the mentality of the players.
I think it's more of a mentality thing. Everybody up front is more aggressive, you know. We have a different mentality coming like into these new games, and just being able to know that without the run game, we can't get anything started.
He's not a man of many words, but he shows it out on the field, that's for sure.
I think Wyoming's run game defense is very vulnerable based on the stats. They're pretty good against the pass, again, just based on paper, but the run defense on paper is one of the worst in the Mountain West. As a matter of fact, Boise State and Wyoming are the two worst run defenses in the entire conference. Wow. Maybe this thing will be a track meet with a bunch of running up and down the field ball game.
You know, that's a good question, Prater. I do think that I like what George Helani said there, and I want more of George Helani. The more we see of Helani in this offense, the better Boise State seems to do. I would love for this fan base to get to see George Helani have a classic Helani performance in one of these next two home games.
That would be fun.
Well, everything that is old is new again. Is that the phrase? Oh, actually, I was supposed to play some Craig Bull. Craig Bull coming to town. Last time they were here, 2019, it was a close game, went to overtime, but Boise State came out on top. Bull remembers that very well.
You know, I can remember the last time we were over there and, you know, knowing that we were going to be in a dogfight. And, mm-hmm. you know, we certainly had an option. You know, we got into overtime and we were not able to convert. Our guys were disappointed. It was a gut-wrenching loss. I thought our guys played hard, but they're a team that's difficult to defeat there. We're going to need to play our best game, but I think we're capable of doing that this year.
They did have that win in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Josh Allen's last game of his college career.
He was magnificent in that game, by the way. Josh Allen on the blue against some Mac Yahoo. He lit him up that day, and Buffalo Bills and that franchise, all that stuff,
I went to that game, and it's probably the only football game in my entire life where I didn't see a single play. I spent the entire game chasing John Elway.
That's right.
So what do you mean?
He came to town for that game.
Okay.
And it had been confirmed, and he was somewhere within the facility. We don't know if it was the press box or the stadium, and I literally spent the entire first half looking for John Elway.
I don't blame you, man. I've done the same thing.
I was doing it for an interview, though. You would have asked for an autograph.
Damn, that's kind of funny, because I was in Autzen covering a Ducks game, and John Elway was there. This was Justin Herbert's final year there. And John Elway was sitting in the Oregon Duck press box, ways away from me. I just couldn't get my eyes off it. And I try all this stuff. But, yeah, I've seen John Elway, too, and, man, that was a weird experience for me.
Did you and you did never did see a sighting of him, Prater?
I've never seen him. I've never seen him in person.
That's it.
I've never seen him in person.
Well, Cam Newton is back with the NFL team that drafted him in 2011, the Carolina Panthers. He's been a free agent since August when the Patriots released him. And Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network say it's a one-year deal worth up to $10 million for the rest of the year. It includes $4.5 million fully guaranteed and a $1.5 million roster bonus. So that's news with Cam. And the other news today, the other signing, Odell Beckham Jr. He will finish the season with the Rams. Apparently had an offer he was contemplating with the Green Bay Packers.
Now, it is OBJ, and you did say finish the season. Are you sure he's going to finish the season?
I don't know that. How many games left do we have? Eight?
We're only halfway through the season. OBJ could screw this thing up real fast.
He could. So I'm going to say the odds are about 42 to 58. 42% that he finishes it with the Rams.
I think he has to finish it. I'll say 95%. It's going to be a mega crash and burn if they crash and burn again. And Odell Beckham, I just think he's going to – he lives in L.A. already most of the year. He's going to go there. I think he's going to know his place within Sean McVay and that organization, and he's going to just try to play for it.
Well, now, why do you say that? Why all of a sudden is OBJ just literally overnight going to become a great teammate?
I don't know if he's going to be a great teammate.
You know, you said he's going to know his place.
He's a great teammate.
I don't think you're going to see him getting in Sean McVay or any assistant coach's face on the sideline with, like, give me the damn ball talk. I think that's done. I think he's going to tell his dad. And I actually think Odell Beckham planted this whole seed. I think he had dad text and tweet out all those videos so he could kind of force his way out of Cleveland. Dad's not going to be involved when he's with the Rams. And maybe the Rams will actually use him a little bit better than Cleveland. I don't think this is a great move for LA guys, though. No, I don't think this makes the Rams better or worse. Okay, Odell Beckham, show me something. The amount of talk, right, on a national level and publicity that some of these guys get who haven't had a productive season in half a decade. Look at Odell Beckham's stats. He hasn't done jack since 2016. That was like almost 6 years ago, dude. Show me, Odell Beckham, that you're not just living off that one great Sunday night football catch that was like 10 years ago. Ah, damn it, Prater.
You forgot to say get off it. I mean, it's like a bonus.
Is that a bonus soapbox?
That was a bonus soapbox today.
He instantly becomes the four-string wide receiver on that staff. He'll pout. It will not finish well.
So, you think he's going to start? He's going to do what he's always done?
Why would he change now? That was my original question. Why would he change now?
What was your original question? I forgot you had one. I thought I just jumped on my box real quick, man. Oh, Praters. What's going on next? What do we got? Bob Beeler. Heck yeah. Four keys to Bronco victory. Like JP said, he was 4-for-4 last week. Everything came true. Bob is hot, and Bob's feeling it. Where are the keys this week? That's next. KTIK.
Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Welcoming Bob to the Day to Tell studio, the hot to trot, Bob Beeler. You were hot last week on your four keys to victory, Bob. You checked every one of those suckers off, and me and Prater, I know, and a lot of listeners out there, we want to know what the keys are this week, Bob.
Well, I mean, the team made me look good, too, because I say that it's going to happen, those guys have to back me up, right, and come through with the results.
Ballgame and I have a little bit of a bet. He said you could go 4-0 again. I said you could go 3-1. I don't have as much faith in you,
Bob. Okay, well, I want to know at the end of this four, Prater, which one you think is least likely to come through.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's get ready for the keys to Boise State beating Wyoming tomorrow.
Number one.
To me, this one has to be stop the Wyoming run. They got 385 yards against Colorado State, which was obviously a season high. They're averaging 192 for the season, 4.6 a carry. Both numbers bigger than what Boise State gives up for an average. But Boise State's run defense has gotten better. Last week, Fresno State only got 77. Now, I don't think they can hold Wyoming under 100. Wyoming, along with Air Force and San Diego State, are the only three teams in the league that have more running yardage than passing yards. But I'm looking at 150 as the magic number. Hold them under 150 on the ground, because when they do that, this time, this year, it's been three times the Cowboys have been held under 150 yards rushing. They have lost them all. So I say hold the Cowboys under 150 running the football.
You know, it seems like that isn't an impossible task for this defense, especially with the way they've been playing in the second half. And, Bob, a lot of times the best way a defense can hold an offense under a certain number of rushing yards is by its offense scoring. You turn your offense into your defense.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
Number two.
Special teams comes to play. And I mean, if you get a return for a score or a big field position switching return, that's the cherry on top. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kickoffs and punts. Wyoming is averaging less than 20 yards a kick return. They are averaging less than 4 yards a punt return, next to last in both categories. This offense is not overly consistent. What I don't want to do is give them short fields. Don't turn the ball over. Don't go for it on fourth down at midfield. Punt the ball. Make them go 80 yards every time they have the football. If you make them do that, they only complete 50% of their passes. They are not going to go the distance with long drives that much against Boise State. So take advantage of the field position with Velasquez both kicking off and Velasquez punting. Boise State net punt about 42 yards. They need that to come through.
And the kicker's been hot, too, in Jonah Dalmas, Bob. I think special teams is going to play a crucial role, as it seems to have played this year. And, you know, I'd like to see Velasquez get to back to punting the way he was at the beginning of the year.
Number three.
Number three.
Three.
Number three.
I want to get ahead, much like they did at Fresno, but I want it a little bit more convincing. Last week, the Broncos scored early. We were ahead 13-0. Now, that was scoring on three possessions. I want touchdowns. I want to get Wyoming behind by two scores as early as possible. Because unless you give up the big play, and again, as I mentioned, they only complete 50% of their passes and they only throw for 156 yards a game, I think Boise State is in good position. And how about some turnovers? Wyoming has thrown 224 passes this year. Boise State has thrown 310. But Wyoming's thrown 10 interceptions. Boise State has only thrown 6. So Wyoming throws an interception 1 out of every 22 passes. Boise State throws an interception 1 out of every 52 passes. I think you can force Wyoming's offense into some turnovers, but I want that kind of helping you get an early, comfortable lead. Like to be ahead 14-0, Prater, after one quarter.
What do we know about the Wyoming quarterback situation? Williams has replaced Chambers, right, for the last couple of weeks. How has Williams been playing?
Well, he's run the ball pretty well. He's elusive, and he'll be a guy that will run the ball by design. He's also a guy that will take off. So you kind of have to have somebody spy him a little bit so that you don't let him get a big run. He had one last week against Colorado State. Throws it, I guess, maybe a little better. He was only 9 for 16 last week against Colorado State, threw for less than 100 yards. Mm. But the key for him last week is he did not throw an interception. I mean, Chambers' numbers, if you're looking at Chambers, his biggest problem has been the picks. He has 6 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Williams this season is 4-3.
Gotcha.
Number four.
Number four.
Four.
Number four.
Number four is actually three. Because three is a trend. And as we look at this, Boise State has played a very tough schedule this year. They've lost some close heartbreakers, but they're healthy now as they've ever been. They are playing with more confidence than they've ever done. I believe three is a trend. If you put two together, that's pretty good. But if you win three in a row, that to me is a trend. And I think if Boise State wants to get back into the Mountain West Championship race, they need to play with the confidence of a champion against Wyoming and New Mexico. These are teams that are inferior to you. You got to close out the season strong, win these last three, those two and San Diego State. And then if you get some luck with some of the other games, you might get to play in the championship game.
Bob, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on getting ahead. I'm with you on the special teams. I'm going to nitpick your first one, stopping the Wyoming run. You want under 150 yards. I say Wyoming goes over 150 yards just because this passing game and this quarterback situation is such a mess. I'm going to trump your 150 and go, they're going to run for 164 and blow your prediction out of the water.
Nice. But you're going to say under 200.
They're not going to get to over 200 for sure. So we're going to be right on spot right there. But there's no doubt that this is, I think on paper, this is a good X's and O's matchup for the Boise State football team we've seen the last couple of weeks.
I think so, too. I think they're playing well. They're playing better. They're healthier. And I think, as Coach Avalos is going to say tonight, the biggest single difference between now and earlier in the season, they are much more dominant at the line of scrimmage than they've been, and that's a big factor.
Oh, give us the info on the Avalos show today.
We got the coach's show. You got to turn over to 670 KBOI. It'll start at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll talk offensive line with Tim Keene, talking about mixing and matching and how that group has developed. We'll also be talking with George Helani, ask him a question about how he knows when he wants to cut. Gives a pretty good answer to that. And then Riley Wimpy talks about playing linebacker and stopping this Wyoming team. And, of course, Coach Avalos as well.
Do you have a ritual, like on a game day, Bob? Do you eat French toast on all game days? Does you and your wife go for a walk the night before? Like, what? I mean, do you have anything you do?
No. I mean, other than I like to get to the booth early and get set up. But, No, I don't. Like, I won't eat. I'll eat whatever I feel like on a given day. Yeah, but nothing like I have to have the French toast or the Frosted Flakes in the morning of a game.
But you have to have a sweet at some point on game day, right?
That is more of just because I like to have a little energy, and that's a way to pick you up in the middle of the broadcast.
There you go.
The cookie.
Actually, what's the easiest to have is a Hershey's chocolate kiss. Dark
just
chocolate.
One?
How big?
Just those little ones where
just
you pop.
Just the regular
well,
little ones.
Well, because in a timeout, you can't munch too much. Yeah. You got to have something small. Something
that's
small.
True. So just a little Hershey's kiss.
Bob Beeler, giving him a kiss.
Let's see if he can go undefeated again. Bob Beeler, thanks for stopping by. Catch that coach's show tonight from one Boise State topic to another. Blue Turf Sports Report, BJ Raines of the Idaho Press. Next, Prater in the Ballgame.
Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. It's time for the Blue Turf Sports Report with BJ Raines of the Idaho Press. Presented by RoePaint.com. Don't just repaint, RoePaint.com.
Appreciate that. Again, we are saluting our veterans today on Idaho Sports Talk. I want to hear from you, our veteran listeners who have served. Text us on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line and give us a shout out so we can shout you out and say thank you. BJ Raines again hanging out, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Welcome to the program, BJ. I hope you're having a wonderful Veterans Day and looking forward to talking some football, maybe some hoops. What's up, dude?
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks as always for having me on.
What's sticking out to you the most with this football team right here and right now?
I would say the fact that, you know, what a difference a couple weeks makes. I mean, my story for tomorrow's paper is just about not only is it possible for them to still get to the conference championship game, as I'm sure Bob has talked about this week, but I mean, it's very realistic. I don't want to say likely, but it's still, there's a very real path for this team to get to the championship game. And not only that, to have the game be in Boise, which is crazy. You think back a couple weeks ago where this team was after that loss to Air Force, third loss in a row on the blue, and, oh, this is going to be one of the worst seasons of all time. And they went out, which is very possible at this point, and they only need a little bit of help. The game's in Boise. It's just crazy to think that all of a sudden they could be hosting the conference championship game and then playing back in that new LA Bowl, which was the goal before the season started, as bad as this year has been.
BJ, we have Logan the Voodoo Doll here in the studio. Would you like to put a pin in Logan the Voodoo Doll?
Sure, why not? Frank Miley's you weren't there, but when Johnny asked Frank Miley about that was the reaction was about as good as it's been all year, because you're asking all these serious football questions and out of nowhere Johnny comes in with that, and it was worth the price of admission on that one. And I love your guys talk about that, and I'll do whatever it does to help. Sure.
Where do you want to put the pin, BJ?
That's something I hadn't thought of.
Give me a body part.
Let's go in the arm.
Right arm or left?
Let's go right.
Right arm. All right, we got it taken care of. Sorry to interrupt, ball game.
It's all good, man. JP, get after it. Logan,
there
the
he
voodoo
goes.
Dog.
Oh, I can feel the pain.
Putting a curse for this fan base to get San Jose State to lose on Saturday. I'm sorry, to win on Saturday against Utah State. BJ.
And you want San Diego State to beat Nevada, because if San Diego State beats Nevada, then if Boise State beats San Diego State, then the championship game would be in Boise.
Oh, I like that, too.
That's the angle right there. PJ, well, okay, I know we're having fun with this talk, but what if Wyoming comes in here tomorrow night on the blue, and they do what teams have been doing to Boise State on the blue frequently, winning? How's that going to look? Not necessarily with the fan base and the media, but the blueprint of Wyoming being able to beat Boise State. How well are they going to have to play?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to play extremely well. I mean, they have obviously an offense that runs the football. As everybody knows, Valladay is one of the best running backs in the league. Their quarterback can run as well. And so if there were to be a recipe, it would be them running all over Boise State. It would be Boise State committing turnovers. In that Nevada game, obviously, as everybody knows, Boise State had 3 turnovers in the second half. You know, I think just self-inflicted mistakes. You know, in the Air Force game, you're going down to try to tie the game, and you don't even have your enough players on the field. So, I mean, I think Boise State – at home, for whatever reason, it's just not been focused, making mental mistakes, turnovers, self-inflicted wounds with penalties. I mean, I think Boise State the last 2 weeks has shown discipline. They're not turning the ball over. They're not, making mistakes. They're not committing a lot of penalties. I mean, it's a pretty simple thing. When you take care of the ball and you play smart and you get some turnovers on defense, you got a good chance to win. And so I think that I've said it 3 weeks in a row. I didn't think they would lose to Nevada, and then I certainly didn't think they'd lose a third game in a row to Air Force. So I guess anything is possible, but this is all set up for Boise State. This is what Boise State does. As bad as it's been, it's why every team in the league hates them. As bad as they've played, like I said, the worst season in a while, here they are with a chance, 2 home games against way inferior competition that they should beat pretty easily, and it could all be on the line the last week of the season. So I say just if Wyoming wants to win, you force some turnovers, you run the ball, eat the clock, and try to win a low scoring game, because I don't see that happening.
BJ Raines, Idaho Press, BlueTurfSports.com, getting you ready for tomorrow night's football game against Wyoming in Albertson Stadium. We're going to do the pregame show tomorrow, and Johnny and I are, and we're going to have a little topic. We're going to get after it a little bit. And we came up with 4 names because Boise State plays 2 home games in the next 8 days, and then they're done for the season unless they somehow find themselves in the potato bowl. We came up with 4 names. BJ, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to ask you yes or no questions. Will we see any of these 4 players back at Boise State next year? Let's start with JL Skinner. Yes or no?
No.
Scott Matlock.
Yes.
John Ojukwu.
Oh, does he have a COVID year, I guess?
Yes.
I'll say yes, actually.
Khalil Shakir.
No.
You're kind of close to what Ballgame and I said. We won't reveal what we're going to talk about. We kind of mapped out that segment, but I was very curious as to
One of you two thinks Scott Matlock might go? Are you willing to at least say that?
We had a pretty healthy conversation. We're going to have a very healthy conversation about Scott Matlock between X's and O's and his emotional connection to this Valley, fans, family, all the above, and what this program means to him and his family. So I think there's a lot of elements there with Scott Matlock, who is a phenomenal football player and a very complicated and fun-loving human being.
Yes, I would agree, and I know that's not the direction you're wanting to go with this, but I will quickly say that, he was our inspirational winner at the paper, and I got to know him back when he was in high school and overcame a lot of tragedy with both of his parents passing away, as a lot of people know, and I can't imagine what he went through growing up in a foster family and getting in some trouble and, really to make something of his life and become now one of the better players on a team like Boise State's defense and a leader like he is. It truly is an inspirational story, and we're not supposed to root for guys in this game, and we're supposed to be neutral, but it's hard to not root for a guy like Scott Matlock, and I'm very happy on a personal level to see him doing well.
Well said, BJ. We feel the exact same way. Let's flip it over to our emotional feelings, or at least my emotional feelings, when it comes to Wyoming coach Craig Bull. I'm looking at the entire Mountain West football lineup, and every conference every year has some kind of coaching turnover. Right now, I don't see a single coach in this conference getting a better job, leaving for a better job. And I think there might only be 1.5 coaches on the hot seat. If Craig Bull loses all 3 of these games, he may lose his job. Marcus Arroyo, I think it's probably too early in his tenure to get rid of him. Who's on the hot seat? Who's not coming back? Or will all 12 coaches come back next year?
Well, with Craig Bull first, I don't know. Were you? I don't know if you guys would have been surprised by this or not, but when I was looking at the research this week, I mean, he's 43-48.
Yep.
In his career at Wyoming. I was a little surprised to see that he's under 500. 8 wins is the most he's had in a season. I know the 2-10 season he had there at the beginning. I mean, he's turned it around for the first couple of years, so maybe the numbers are better lately. But I was a little surprised that he hasn't had a little bit more success there. And he is making, $1.5 million, I believe. So
highest paid coach in the Mountain West.
that is pretty crazy. And as anyone that's been to Laramie, it's obviously a tough place to recruit to. I think sustained success is going to be a tough thing to do there, as they've shown. But yeah, I think that's very interesting. I think Wyoming has to figure out what they want. But you know, they 2-4 last year, and if they finish under 500 this year, I mean, is that enough to take away the, you know, three of the 4-8 win seasons before that? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover, because I think, Mike, that eight of the 12 coaches down at Media Days, 8 of the 12 coaches, it was their first time at Media Days. So you have a lot of new coaches in this league, as you guys know, and there's just not a lot of guys that really would be in that position. I mean, I know more and more coaches are not getting the 3, 4, 5, 6 years they probably deserve, but there's a lot of younger coaches in this league, and I unless there's someone that I'm forgetting about, I don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover, if any, in the league this year.
I wonder, like, Jim Mora, who's now at UConn as of today, would he have been interested, excuse me, in the Laramie gig? Guys like that, anyway. BJ, I like this over-under game. I like this yes-no game that Prater was playing with you, so I'm going to take that to another level. I'm going to set the line for snaps. Talon Green takes it quarterback tomorrow at 1.5. Are you going over or under?
I'll go under. Under. I think it'll be over for the season, but I don't think he plays tomorrow.
Okay, so that experiment, they tried it last week. It didn't. Well, I mean, they got one big play out of it. They got a 20-plus yard run. Like, so you don't think Talon Green, they don't do what they did last week and give the kid a series?
Well, you only get 2 games left with him, so I think you got to pick your pieces here with the 2 games, and I think he might have more value in a San Diego State-type game or a conference championship or a bowl game than tomorrow night's game. So he gets 2 more games, and I think you have to pick him wisely. I liked playing him when they did. I know some people didn't. I'm not sure if you guys did, but I thought it was a nice wrinkle that not only you tried to catch Fresno off guard, but you put something on tape that other teams have to pay attention to, and so I liked the wrinkle. I thought it was fine. I think he gets 2 more games this year, but I don't think you waste one of them tomorrow.
BJ, basketball. Marcus Shaver going to be playing Saturday at Irvine? I know they won by 20 a couple of nights ago, BJ. That was without one of their starters. And Shaver, what are you hearing there as far as when he might be returning, man? Tell me about Saturday.
Well, I think they're hopeful. I mean, this has lingered on longer than they would have liked. He was dealing with this for a good portion of camp and then came back and was all set to go and then kind of re-aggravated it. And so it's something in terms of his hand, and I don't know if it's a bone or a muscle or what, but we were watching practice last week and he had a huge kind of thing that he was practicing through, a big wrap on it. So, yeah, I mean, he's a huge part of this team. I don't think people realize this. I mean, you were talking about the big three, Johnny. I mean, I think he would be in the big three. So, I mean, I you know, it's either got to be a big four or somebody else gets bumped out. I mean, I think Marcus Shaver is that good. He's going to be second or third on the team in scoring this year, probably. I mean, he's a very, very important piece of this team. So I think people were underestimating not having him, what that meant to this team. To win by 20 without Marcus Shaver, your best outside shooter, your best guy, your best pure guy at getting to the rack and creating, you know, buckets. I think Marcus Shaver has the biggest potential to have a quote unquote breakout or big year compared to last year of anybody on the team. So they need to get him back soon, because I think he's a huge part of this team.
Boise State basketball coming off its season-opening victory against Utah Valley on Tuesday. They won't be back in Extra Mile Arena until Friday night, November 26th. That's the night after Boise State plays San Diego State earlier that morning. BJ, when they come back from UC Irvine this Saturday night, when they come back from the Charleston, South Carolina tournament and get ready for that Bakersfield game on the 26th, what will this basketball team look like?
Oh, man. First of all, the Irvine game on Saturday, guys, is very sneaky. If you look at the KenPom rankings, you know, Irvine's only projected to lose by 1 point. I mean, this is a 1 point, basically a 50-50 game for Boise State. It's a quad 2 game. Irvine's actually a pretty decent team. Their KenPom rankings just outside the top 100. So don't sleep on Saturday's game. That's a very sneaky, tough game for them. And then you've got the tournament at St. Bonaventure, where you're in Charleston, where their first game in the tournament next week is against the number 23 ranked team in the country, St. Bonaventure, who's got 5 senior starters back or 5 returning starters. So, I think this is a very sneaky early test. You want to go 2-1 in Charleston, however you can. So if you can go 3-1 in the next 4 games, and if you can find a way to come back to that Bakersfield game with a 4-1 record, I think that would be amazing at this point. So you got to beat Irvine and then go 2-1 in the tournament. And if they can start, you know, pick up some of these wins that are going to prove to be tournament worthy, you've got Clemson potentially in the second game of the tournament or Temple. So it's going to be I think this is a very important next 10 days for this program, and it's going to tell a lot about the course of the season.
Well, you got a busy weekend coming up, covering Boise State football Friday, covering Boise State basketball Saturday. and doing everything else you do in between, BJ. We appreciate getting some time from you each and every, what, typically Friday? Did we bump BJ up today?
Yes, sir.
He's typically not with us on Thursday for the Blue Turf Sports Report, but we appreciate you, BJ. Thank you.
We'll see you in the press box tomorrow. Take care, guys.
I will. See old BJ Raines doing his thing there in the presser. How about some games this week? You wonder about point spreads as Boise State a lock to cover against Wyoming. They're two touchdown favorites. What about Green Bay and Seattle? What do you know about that? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, who's going to play? What's that going to look like? Well, Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com joins us next. Talk about some of these point spreads on KTIK The Ticket.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Vol Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Sports Radio, The Ticket, saluting our veterans on this Veterans Day. Thank you all for your service. We'll even send this one out to Darren in Cuna. Good listener of the program, and I know that Darren is a veteran. So thank you, Darren, and thanks, everybody, on this Veterans Day. Appreciate you.
Well said, JP, and Prater and myself to Darren in Cuna, who listens to this show just about every single day, and saluting him today, Prater.
Absolutely.
Good for you, Darren in Cuna. We appreciate you. Let's get to Lee Sterling, who's on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline for this special Veterans Day edition of Picking Games with ParamountSports.com. Lee, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm shocked. I mean, able to create a Utah State voodoo doll. I mean, that's the first one. Got to be the first one ever made in the world. Right?
Leave it to us to do it, Lee, and we got it right here. Would you like to participate? Would you like to put a little poke in our Logan the Voodoo?
Of course, of course.
Where would you like to poke him?
Right in the forehead. Right in the forehead.
I love it. Forehead is free and available just for you, my friend.
Done.
All right, thanks.
We'll send that updated picture. Throw your name on there on Twitter, too. Lee, picking these games. You guys do a terrific job at ParamountSports.com. You were 4-1 last week with us picking all these winners. Lee, I'm starting you off in my home conference, the Pac-12.
Yep.
Oregon versus Washington State. This is a spread. It's in Eugene, and the Ducks are favored by 2 touchdowns. Lee, where are you?
Yeah, the Cougs, believe it or not, 6 straight covers. I mean, Washington was begging to get blown out last week. Oregon couldn't do it. Washington State quarterback Jaden Delora, 17 touchdown passes, seems to be gaining experience as a playmaker. The Cougs have covered a remarkable 10 straight in the series. The visitor and the dog, 7-1 against the spread this year in Duck games, make it. I think it's going to be 11 straight covers here for the Cougs. I think the Ducks survived 31-28, but I'm taking the 2 touchdowns. I think it's too much.
That's crazy that the Ducks have not covered against the Cougs in a decade, Prater.
Wow.
I love that rivalry there or that series. Hey, let's go to the Mountain West, Lee. San Jose State hosting the voodoo doll Logan himself and the Utah State Aggies. Spartans given 4 in the hook. Lee, what's going to happen? A lot of Boise eyes on this game.
Yeah, and now there's some pressure on Blake Anderson and his staff. I've never thought that they've been that great. So for 5 straight games, they've averaged between 1 and 3 yards per carry. Eventually, you know, these numbers catch up with you. A little Sparty here has run for 6.5, 6.5, and 5.8 yards per carry the last 3 games. Nick Starkle finally returned here. This is a team that returned almost their entire team from last year. They were just like in a rut for a while, but they seem to be coming out of it here. You're going to get your wish. Little Sparty, 33. Utah State, 23.
Oh, we like that around here, Lee. We like that a lot. Let's dive into a couple of other big-time Mountain West football games. I know all the attention in this conference will be on San Diego State, Nevada. That's the big one for sure. Aztecs minus 2.5. Lee, what do you like?
Yeah, and, I'm watching this Nevada team, and Carson Strong, I think he's really banged up. I mean, he's having trouble running. watching him. He's having trouble sometimes planning and firing. His arm is just so strong, he can get away with a lot of times. But I think both knees are banged up. It wouldn't shock me if we hear, you know, if they don't go to a good bowl. He has surgery, wants the healing process to start, or as soon as the season's over, he has surgery. He's got some problems. Something's going on there. And I like this San Diego State team. I think they can run the ball. And they just caught a Fresno State team a couple weeks ago playing their best ball and had a good game plan and had some blitz schemes. And once they get behind, they've got problems. It's not going to happen here on Saturday night. Give me the Aztecs here, 30-21.
Lee, it seems like we waited a year and a half for a home football schedule here in Boise and all across this country. Boise State down to its final two home games in the next 8 days. I can't believe we're at this point in the season. Boise State, -14, back on the blue, where they're 1-3 this year against the always tough, always physical Wyoming Cowboys.
Yeah, and Wyoming, for a number of games, just did not look good. I mean, they were almost unwatchable. All of a sudden, it looks like Levi Williams has finally, someone has stepped forward at quarterback. He passed for two touchdowns, ran for 116 yards. He'll be the guy for former starter Sean Chambers, who is going to be staying on the bench now. Boise State's offense finally showed some balance, and presto, they win in cover versus Colorado State and Fresno State. Both teams, 5-4, playing for bowl eligibility. I just think the line's a little inflated here. Wyoming seems to have maybe recovered from that four-game skid. They are not good. Here's what gives me some pause. They're 1-11 against the spread the last 12 road games, but I just think that they might have turned it around here. I think Boise wins the game 31-24, but I'll take the two touchdowns. I think it's too much here.
Well, let me get back to the NFL with you, Lee Sterling, professional handicapper, ParamountSports.com here on Prater in the Ballgame. Green Bay, they're hosting the Seattle Seahawks. It looks like we probably get Aaron Rodgers versus Russell Wilson. We think for sure we're going to get Russell Wilson. The Packers are only laying 3 points at home from Lambeau. Who do you like in this one? Green Bay to cover?
Yeah, it's like 3.5 everywhere. But, you know, I think they're begging you to take Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, I think both these quarterbacks are probably not going to be 100%. They're probably 85, 90%. You just can't, you know, go a week and a half without practicing and step back the first day or two and expect to be that good. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is different, and I still expect him to play well, and Russell Wilson will play well. But I think Russell Wilson is going to present some problems to this Green Bay defense. Somehow, I don't know how they've been doing it. They've been piecing it together without their best pass rusher, their best cornerback, and now it looks like their nose tackle, their best defensive lineman, Kenny Clark, is probably not going to be able to go with a back injury. So I think Russell Wilson's style creates a big problem for Green Bay's defense here, being able to extend plays here. Upset of the weekend, Seattle, 30-24 over Green Bay.
Oh, Lee, I hope you're
sorry.
I hope you hit that. I love you, man. Game of the week, Praters, Utah Utes. They're with the Arizona Wildcats. We're coming off a win. This is the big special play. We got to get in touch with you to get your picks, but just give us a little tease, will you, Sterling?
So I think I found something here in this game. You know, Arizona finally won a game. You know, it did take Cal leaving behind 20-some players, but they got it done. Give them credit here. And could Utah be just ready to roll, or are they looking past this game to next week, big game next week? So you want to get this winner, just call 800-400-9741. We rebounded last week, had a nice 9-5 week after a tough weekend the weekend before. So we're back on a roll, and we don't call this month November. We call it Dovember. We've got games every single day, even Tuesdays and Wednesdays now because of Maction. So you want to get involved. Now's the time. We dominate in November. $297 for 3 weeks, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sweeten the pot. I'm going to give you basketball. College basketball started a couple nights ago. So we'll add that. We're 3-1 to start the year there. We've got NBA where we're winning. We will also throw in hockey where I'm number one in the world. And then UFC where we've won 5 of the last 7 cards. All 4 sports for $297. You're going to get probably 75, 85 games in the next 3 weeks. How do you get it? Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, last week the only stinking bet I hit was the teaser that you told me and Prater to bet on this segment. You said tease down Kansas City's line and then take Pittsburgh on the two-team teaser. I hit it. I thank you, and now I come back with my hand out again, Lee, like the stray like the stray cat that you feed. It's not going away.
Lee, at least you're asking.
I want a two
when we got a problem.
Lee, I want a two-team NFL teaser. Please,
okay,
Lee, please.
Okay, I'll give you one. All right, so I'm going to give you – I don't think they're going to win the game tonight, but I'm going to give you the Dolphins. It's up to 8.5, so you can move that up to 14.5 at home. And then how about the NFL? Let's go with I like Tennessee here. We're going to move them from right now 2.5 to getting 3.5. How does that sound?
Okay. Miami Tennessee teaser. Lee, you're the best. Right. We'll talk next week. And thanks for participating in the pokage of our voodoo doll.
I want to see a picture if they go down. I want to see a picture of all those needles and things you stick into them. Okay?
Okay, Lee. Enjoy the game tonight in your hometown, man. Good stuff there. Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Prater, some good stuff there, man.
Make some money this weekend, ballgame. I'm going to be calling at 6:01 for that Utah line. I know that.
Are you? Yeah, that's the, I mean, the only thing I hit last week was the thing he told me on this show, and I'm glad we have that. And now, yes, my hand is out, and I want more teasers, Lee. We got a lot of stuff going on. JP's got the news. How about this? Riley Wimpy, he's going to be on the coach's show tonight. We're going to preview some of that, and you're going to hear what he's talking about when it comes to this program and playing Miami. What's Miami? The mix of Wyoming and Miami. That's what you get on this show. Knucklehead Smith, a.k.a. Johnny Ballgame. But first, hey, Sweet Bids. It's live now at KTIK.com. You can bid on local items like furniture, art, jewelry, firearm classes, wedding photography, even a mattress, all that stuff. You're getting insane deals right now at KTIK.com. Exotic cruises, vacations, you bid, you save with tons of great items. That's Sweet Bids at KTIK.com.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Volgame. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket.
Administration.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Hang with us in about 10 minutes. Your chance to win a $50 gift certificate to Indian Creek Steakhouse in Nampa. It's Rock Jocks and Pop Culture on the way. This Ticket Sports Update, sponsored by Larry Miller Dodge. Boise State back on the blue to take on Wyoming. Enjoy the game. While you're out and about with other fans and you need a quality new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, just visit Larry H. Miller Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. They're in the Boise Auto Mall, online at DodgeBoise.com. Coming up later on tonight on 670 KBOI, the busiest man in sports, Bob Beeler, hosting Coach Avalos Weekly on KBOI. He'll be joined by Coach Avalos along with running back George Helani and linebacker Riley Wimpy, who has seen a few games with the Cowboys of Wyoming.
Wyoming prides themselves in being cowboy tough. They love the downhill physical run game. They got some big dudes up front who can move guys around. So, you know, we're excited for that challenge. We love being physical, and we know that the most physical team wins. So, you know, we do need to stop the run. But when it comes to the passing game, they also can run their quarterback in the run game. But in the passing game, he also can scramble and get out. So we just got to be able to contain him.
Prater, I think it was you that put out a tweet last week during the game about Riley Wimpy even looking like he had an extra juice in his step in the game against Fresno State.
Yeah, the coach has dialed up a scheme for him to get after it, run sideline to sideline and run north and south and get after that quarterback, and he came through. Riley Wimpy is not the fastest, most athletic person on this team, not even close, but he looked like it, and they put him in those situations last week. Not bad for an old man yesterday. Riley Wimpy, your middle linebacker and captain of the Boise State football team, turned 25 years old yesterday.
What?
25 years old.
Who is the oldest player in Boise State football history? Joe Nickel, if you're listening, and I know you are, or I assume you aren't, text me and let me know. Who is? Have they ever had someone who served a religious mission? I'm sure they've had several. Have they ever had someone who did something before they had a college football career and came back?
I know Chris Wing served in the Air Force, I believe it was. I don't know if... You know, he had to have had 4 years of eligibility, but he only played a couple here, I thought, Brader. But
I'm going to go. There's not many that have reached 26-plus at Boise State. Riley Wimpy might be number one or certainly in the top five on that list.
Yeah, 25-year-old college football players, especially those who did not miss seasons due to injury or religious practicing or whatever I call
it. Well, he did go on a mission.
That makes sense.
He did go on a mission, and then he's a super senior. It all kinds of adds up. Don't forget, too, and this football team, maybe they should be applying for their ARP cards, but Hank Bachmeier is a 22-year-old junior.
Yeah, they got some older dudes on the team.
Yes, they do.
Man. I wonder if they give him crap in the line. Whoa, step aside, old man coming through.
Put like a walker in front of his locker. Right? For Riley Wimpy? That would have been a cool gesture for somebody. But I forgot he did go on a mission. You said that before on the show, Prater.
Yeah.
25-year-old. Good for him, man.
Sports Radio The Ticket, your exclusive radio home for tonight's Thursday night NFL game. The Ravens and Lamar Jackson traveling to Miami to take on the Dolphins. A homecoming, I guess, from Jackson. Grew up not too far from Hard Rock Stadium.
Yep, Miami kid.
So we've got that 6 o'clock following Idaho Sports Talk. Jim Mora Jr. is back in coaching. The former Seahawks, Atlanta Falcons, UCLA head coach, named the head man at UConn. According to reports, a 5-year deal worth about $1.5 million per year. Most recently, since 2018, he's been a college football analyst doing the Bob Davey route.
Let's spend a couple minutes on this one, Michael Forrest.
I got a few things to say about this.
$1.5 million a year to take the UConn gig. They're not even in a league anymore. It seems like they punt on football as a program. Like, go for it, man. I'll just let you finish. I mean, this was crazy when I heard this.
Well, I can't speak for UConn side, and I have no idea why or how they came up with that kind of money. It's a 5-year deal, 1.5, but I was more curious about Jim Mora, who's been living in Idaho the last couple of years before COVID, showing up to Boise State games a lot because he did a couple of them, showing up at practice, had a chance to meet him a little bit on the sidelines and talk football with him. I know he's been living up there since then. Why would you be semi-retired? He's 59 years old, assumingly has some money, but maybe he either loves to coach or needs the money. All of a sudden, he's going to leave the beautiful confines of Sun Valley to coach one of the worst, if not the worst, college football program in America. The dude's got a motive, and it's either money or it's either he just loves to coach football, probably a little bit of both. We all love money, and we know he loves college football, but I think I would have hung out in Sun Valley and hiked and skied and rode my bike a little
bit. It's expensive to live up there, though.
It is.
Isn't he a Prater?
He's a coach. He's got lots of money. Come on.
Right. He was making a couple mil per year. He's been bought out. The Seattle buyout. He was only there 1 year.
Yeah.
And that was a big buy. But, you know, I love the big name hire. You know that, Prater. That's what I'm all about. You're about, just finding the best possible guy.
Yeah.
You don't like the big name.
No, I don't.
I wish Jim Mora was coaching in the Mountain West, one of these schools possibly that moves in another direction. Get a guy like Mora. I want that name in the Mountain West. I've told you, Prater, I want Ed Orgeron going to Las Vegas. I want him at UNLV, and I want him dancing with the Rockettes. Oh, Vegas, and I see Ed Orgeron on the strip. Like, I want the big, sexy name, and UConn got one, I think. This is not that they're going to win or anything. We won't even hear about it again, but 1.5. That's more than like every Mountain West coach is making.
You might have a blip for a year or two, and then, you know, it's a Bob Davey situation all over again.
UConn's paying more for a football coach than any other team in the Mountain West, Prater?
I think Ball makes right around 1.5. Yeah. Okay. Avalos makes around 1.5, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. But, I don't think 1.5 coming out of UConn, a fairly wealthy area. I can't speak for the football program, but that's a fairly wealthy area, and I imagine the school has some money. 1.5 for a Jim Mora, that's kind of just average.
Finally, the Idaho Steelheads kicked off their 3-game road swing in Rapid City last night with a 4-1 win over the Rush. The Steelheads scored early and often, and then the bad news came today. Their goaltender, who's got the last two wins, Adam Scheel, recalled to AHL, the Texas Stars. It's just part of the game of the ECHL and your affiliations. But I remember back in the day, it bit them bad. You know, they had the best goaltender. They were on a roll, and, you know, right around playoff time, psh, see ya, goaltender's gone.
Minor league hockey, Praters.
By the way, I've been informed by a buddy, a former Boise State football player. I won't say his name. I don't know if he wants his name out there in public, but he said LaMarco Gardner, a former Boise State football player, played here until he was 28, 29-ish.
What? Really?
Do you remember that name, Prater?
I've never heard that
I think I do, but only after it was brought up. LaMarco Gardner, I think he was a... I don't know what he was here. I can't remember what it was. But LaMarco Gardner, according to this former Boise State player, played here until he was 28, 29. We're trying to find the oldest Boise State football players because Riley Wimpy turned 25 this week.
I got a text from Joe over at Boise State. He says, Hilton Richardson. He didn't tell me how old he was, though. Oh.
I got that same text from Joe. So, yeah, he's listening to the show. I love it.
Nice.
Shout out to Nickel.
Couple of old guys. I love it.
Good stuff. Hey, JP, is it contestant time?
It is. Indian Creek Steakhouse, $50. Let's go.
$50. The best Rocky Mountain oysters that will ever be in your mouth are right there at Indian Creek, and I can speak to that personally. 208-424-9300. That guy's Fresh Deli Hotline. Just get a contestant here, man. Who wants to play Rock Jocks and Pop Culture today and win that gift card? Let's light up that phone line. JP, I want caller number Russell Wilson today. Give me caller number 3. Give me some good vibes for my Hawks in Lambeau. Call right now, guys. We're playing it when we come back on KTIK The Ticket.
It's time to play everybody's favorite game show, Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. Like Meatloaf once sang, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, because here, that makes you a winner. Now, here's Johnny on Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. Rock Jocks Pop Culture here on Prater in the Ballgame. Our contestant today, Prater, we have Ryan, who's living in Boise, and JP has this... Has this Yahoo ever played before?
He has not played Rock Jocks and Pop Culture. He's a newbie. He's a virgin.
We got a rookie Rock Jock and Popper. Hey, Ryan, what's up, dude?
How we doing, guys?
Just so it took you freaking a year and a half to finally play this game. What's up? Why are you new?
Yeah, I've played the wheel games before you guys switched over to this, but I just haven't played this one.
Okay, well, at least you're not a complete and total newbie. Let's see if we can get $50 to Indian Creek Steakhouse in your hands, Ryan. You got 2 lifelines. One's Prater, one's JP. They can help you. Here we go with The Rock. Ryan, what branch of military service did rock and roll legend Johnny Cash serve in from 1950 to 1954? Which branch of military was Johnny Cash a part of?
Man, I certainly could take a guess here, but I'm going to lean on our music guy. JP, what do you got for me?
Well, I wrote down Army, because it seems to me like Johnny Cash would be an Army guy. I don't know why, but that's what I wrote down, Army.
I'm leaning either Army or Navy, but let's go with you, JP. Let's go Army.
Bad breaks and crooked riffs.
Dang it.
I missed it. You're 0 for 1, Ryan. JP, it's not the Army. Prater, you seem to think you know this one.
I saw a Johnny Cash documentary a couple months ago, and mostly it focused on the night that he sang at Folsom Prison.
Okay.
And they talked about his stint in the Navy.
Dang it.
It was the Air Force.
Oh, no, I swear to God it was
the
Navy.
Look it up. Facts check me. But it was. I
swear to God they talked about the Navy.
Really?
Well, he's wrong either way.
Yeah, but if you're wrong, that makes it even better.
I gotta look.
Like if I miss it, yeah.
I'm looking this one up real fast.
Yeah, I had him in the Air Force from 50 to 54. Right now, you're 0 for 1. Here we go. Next one, Jocks.
You're right, Brian. You're right.
It was Air Force?
Yes, you're right.
That scared me.
Nicely done, my friend.
Jocks, how many Heisman Trophy winners have been from service academies? You don't have to tell me who the players were that won these Heismans. I just need to know how many of them were there. You have Army, Navy, and Air Force. Collectively, how many Heisman Trophy winners are from those 3 schools combined? Ryan, go for it.
It really can't be too many, and if there's any, it's from a ways back. I'm going to throw out a guess and go 2.
Final?
Final.
Bad breaks and crooked riffs.
There's Staubach, and is there somebody named Doc on that list?
There's Blanchard and Davis that won it back-to-back years for Army.
Yep.
There's definitely Roger Staubach.
Yep.
I'm guessing there's at least a couple more. I would have guessed, I don't know a specific number, but I would have guessed at least five.
It is five. Brian,
dang.
You should ask Prater. Three from Army, two from Navy, zero from Air Force.
Who are the two Navies?
Roger Staubach, and then there was another player, Pat Dawkins. No. Joe Bellino from Navy in 1960, Roger Staubach from Navy in 1963, and the other name, Pete Dawkins from Army in 58. All five of these were from 1945 to 1963. So in an 18-year period, the service academies collectively won five Heismans.
And JP, didn't we have one of those guys on our show? One of the two Blanchard or Davis guys.
Okay, Mr. Inside, Mr.
Yeah,
Outside.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have. We've had a number of Heisman winners on the show over the years. So that does sound familiar.
Yeah.
Charlie Ward most recently, I think. Or maybe we had another one. But yeah, we had Charlie Ward on
there you go.
Last year. Okay, you're 0 for 2, which means if you get this wrong, you're just a piece of garbage.
Oh, he's not game. Either.
Jeez.
Sorry, guys. Okay, if you get it wrong, you're on the wall of shame. And honestly, when we walk by the wall of shame in the Data Tell studio, I mean, it's not good. Sometimes we flip it off. Sometimes we spit on it. That type of deal. So
laugh at me.
You might be there, Ryan, but you do have a Mike Prater lifeline still left. We'll see if he can help you on this one. Here you go, Ryan. Pop culture. In the 1989 film Casualties of War, Oscar winner Sean Penn stars alongside what other mega famous actor? Casualties of War. It's a war movie, 1989. It's Sean Penn and this guy. Who's this guy?
Prater, this is all on you, man. I've never even seen it or heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either, guy. I felt bad as soon as he said that. I don't know. He may have got us on this one.
1989.
You called him a megastar?
Yeah. And
I would say so, yeah.
Thank you, JP. He's a big name.
Well, there's a lot of big names. That doesn't narrow it down.
Ryan, I need an answer, dude.
John Travolta.
Bad breaks and crooked riffs.
0 for 3, JP, who would you have said?
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Is he big enough star for you, Michael F. Prater?
Sure. I don't know if I've ever seen him in a movie, but sure.
Back to the Future guy, Michael
J.
Fox.
I've never seen that one. You know that.
Ryan, welcome to the shame wall. And next time I see you, I'm going to spit on it. Later, bro. Smell you later. Get out of my face, JP. That's brought to you by Advanced Heating and Cooling. And I'll tell you this. I hope you're feeling a little better now, because this month, and this month only, if you set up for a full system with Advanced Heating and Cooling, they're going to give you a $500 straight cash homie rebate. If you get just a furnace, I get it, you need a new furnace, they give you a $250 rebate. Nobody else is doing this. Go to advancedheatingandcooling.com. We love you. Prater, we got a lot of stuff coming up at 5 o'clock.
Yes, we do.
There might be over 40,000, or right around 40,000 folks watching live football at the same time in this valley tomorrow night.
Three different stadiums. All big games.
All right, we're talking with that. We'll also take your calls. We are Prater and the Ball Game, dude.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket. Sports Radio The Ticket is a fantasy football player's dream.
Tries to run. He's got some space. 20, 15, 10. Will they get him? Jackson dives. And he's in.
Every Sunday, stay up to date on all the NFL scores and stats with Eye on Football from CBS Sports Radio. And then when it comes to primetime, listen to every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night game.
Touchdown! Touchdown!
When it comes to NFL football, no one does it better than Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
Saluting you, our veterans, and all the veterans listening to this program right now, an extra special salute on this proud Veterans Day edition of what we hope is your favorite sports talk radio program, Idaho Sports Talk, with Prater and the Ball Game. I know I had a sibling that served. Prater, you did not. JP, you have, what, you're one of 16 kids in your family? I mean, I guess 4 or 5 of them served.
None of my immediate family served, but I have a great-great-great-grandfather that goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War, John Grigsby. Soldier John Grigsby.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cool you kept track of that, and you can track all that way back. But we're going to have some fun this hour. We'll open up our Fat Guys First Deli hotline for you, 208-424-9300. Text that same number. I'll throw this out there because we are looking. If there's any veterans right now that are listening to this program, we'd love it if you could take a couple seconds and text us and tell us your story, tell us where you served and how you served and whatnot. And we want to read some of those, Prater. For our feedback finale and some stuff there. So, yeah, text on in and get that going. Prater, there's going to be a lot of folks watching football in this valley about 24, 27 hours from now.
Can't wait, ball game. I wish we could divide our bodies up. I certainly have plenty to divide up. I could wish we could be at all three of them. Thunder Stadium and Eagle, Meridian Stadium and Meridian with their semifinal, a couple of state high school championship semifinals. JP's got some history on that. And then 34,000-plus at Albertson Stadium tomorrow night with a big football game for Boise State, which is down to its final two home games of the season. And they're going to be played in the next 8 days. Ball game. We got a lot of football. If we can get Eagle and Meridian to win their football games tomorrow, and we got Boise State next week, we got a season finale and a couple of championship. We got a couple of teams and a championship football game. Let's make it happen, ball game.
How fun would that be? You guys can text us as well. Let us know what your plans are tomorrow. We'll open up some hotlines a little bit later. We want to know what you're doing Friday night. Are you one of those, you a mom or a dad that's watching one of those high school games, or an alum, or maybe you're going to Albertson Stadium to watch the Boise State Broncos play? So,
how do we feel about this ball game? I know that there's still the old guard out there, the old romance people, and I love you guys, and I certainly understand where you're coming from. Two state high school semifinal championship football games should not be played on the same night, or let's just say it this way. College football should not be played on the same night as two high school football state championship semifinal games. Ball game, are we past that, or are we still have a little uncomfortableness with the college football playing on a Friday, which should be prep night?
It's not a lazy boy. It's not a total comfort situation for me, Prater. If they would come out and say, okay, we're going to honor Friday night lights and not allow FBS football, or for that matter, to be played on this day, I wouldn't have a problem with it unless it's past a certain date. Like when high school football is gone, like in the month of December, I know some months like Texas play high school football till like New Year's Day. Their damn state tournament is so big. But for the most part, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I totally understand it. Schools like Boise State and, heck, other schools who play on Friday. A lot of leagues do this now. The Pac-12 has a Friday night showcase game. You know, it's just all about marketing, and it's all about, hey, who's playing when and where, and how can we get the most eyeballs, and how much money can we make if these networks are going to say, oh, our inventory? Yeah, it's pretty bare on Friday night. Why don't you play your college football game there, and we'll pay you about $1 million each. How do you think about that, or whatever the case may be? So I understand where it comes from, but
yeah, absolutely.
State, it's kind of a buzzkill.
State championship in Eagle, or a state semifinal in Eagle, a state semifinal in Meridian, a Boise State football game in Boise. JP, we think that this is unprecedented, right?
Actually, one time in the last 12 years that I could find that there were two semifinal games in the Treasure Valley. This particular year, though, 2016, all four teams in the semis were Treasure Valley teams. Mountain View played Eagle, and Capital played Rocky Mountain.
But there was no Boise State game that night.
We checked that. There was no Boise State game that night. That would be an interesting thing to go back and look at Boise State's attendance on a Friday night during the high school season to see, you know, did they take a dip or what? But because it's happened a number of times. But
yeah, anytime Boise State plays on a Friday, there's a heck of a lot more people playing and watching high school football in this valley than it's going to happen tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, there's just two games, and they're two monster games. You know, on any given night in this valley, there's 45 high school football teams in this valley, roughly 45 high school football teams in this area.
Okay.
So let's say there's 22 games every Friday night somewhere in this valley. Let's say it averages out to about 1,500 people per game. That's, you know, that's, we're looking at 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people watching high school football in this valley on any given regular Friday night. Tomorrow, it'll be, you know, I think they can cram 4,000 plus into Eagles Thunder Stadium. They could probably cram 2,000 or 3,000 into Meridian Stadium. So it's going to be a good representation. I don't think Boise State's game will take a hit. Although the attendance has been so dang strong, 35,000, 36,000, and they have changed the rules of the attendance. They're now counting tickets sold, not butts in the seats. So there is a big difference there historically based on how they did it. But I don't know what they're going to announce tomorrow night, but I would suspect there's going to be 32,000 plus in there. That's, as you did at the top of the segment, ballgame. That's 40,000 plus people having to make tough decisions because they're football fans. They're going to support their high school. But I would imagine some of them would like to go to a Boise State game.
Yeah, a lot of them. Like crazy Uncle Looney, who is related to one of the players on the Eagle high school team. Maybe typically crazy Uncle Looney would go to the Boise State game because he's got Boise State tickets. But maybe not tomorrow night because it is a playoff game. Let's get to our Mountain West Bank Prep Rally. Joining us on our Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, the head football coach of Eagle High School, John Hertz, hanging out with us. Coach, welcome. And I know we got a big night tomorrow all the way around. You got Highland coming in. That's a state power. Welcome to the program, and tell me what you think about Highland, your opponent, Coach.
Yeah, there's Highland, much like Coeur d'Alene, that's two top-notch programs in the state. I actually grew up in Pocatello, so I was going to be a Ram myself, so I knew all about the Rams. They've always been good. Of course, that Pokey Highland rivalry when I was a kid was a little bit bigger than what it is right now, but it was awesome being in Pocatello. High school sports was always huge, and Highland's just kind of continued being a juggernaut ever since I can remember.
Talking high school football, state championship semifinals, both games right here in the Treasure Valley. Talking with John Hartz, Eagle High football coach. Let's talk about the importance of this football game and these next 2 weeks, Coach, to your school and your football program. Eagle High, for, you know, they won state championships in 2001, 2009. I know you guys got to the quarterfinals last year. You've put players in the NFL. This is a proud, proud program. How important are state championships? How important is it, what you're about to accomplish over these next 2 weeks, to this school and to this program and this community?
Oh, it's all our community is talking about right now. Like the Eagle community, we got our own little town here, and, you know, it's becoming a big town, but this place is buzzing. They're excited. They're excited for the kids. The mayor just emailed me yesterday.
Nice.
So it's been crazy. Like, it's really exciting. And, of course, state championships mean everything to us here. So, like, being back in this position, we feel blessed. The kids know they've earned it, so they feel blessed, and they feel excited about getting a chance to get to the final, but it's going to be tough work.
Coach, when this season started back in September, August, July, as you were putting everything together, I'm not sure what the expectations were, but on paper you had three returning starters on offense, you had three returning starters on defense, you'd lost Ben Ford, you had lost Brett Tomasini, you had lost all kinds of all-conference players, and here you are playing for a state's championship berth. What clicked with this team? What worked? Because on paper, you probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah, everyone kept telling us that. I think that's part of what got this team here. I mean, they heard it. They've been talking about that since January, telling, you know, like, we graduated everybody. We're not supposed to be good. But, you know, there's a couple move-ins that helped. And then, but it's mostly been the guys that were already here that just said, we're going to get this done, Coach. They really helped shape our culture. I think the culture's improved in our locker room and our weight room tremendously over this season. And, just a belief in everything we're doing. And I credit the kids for it. But, you know, Ben Ford comes to our game still when he can, when BSU isn't playing that night. Brett Tomasini was just up at that Coeur d'Alene game supporting us, and Derek Tomasini. So those guys still come out, and they're embracing the culture too. So it's been awesome.
And we're here with John Hartz. He's the head football coach for the Eagle Mustangs. State semifinals tomorrow night. They're hosting the Highland Rams. Coach, it's unfortunate, I think, for the whole community with Boise State playing on a Friday and then the two area high school games. I know they'll come out in Eagle. That's a very proud group. But overall, I mean, in a perfect world, wouldn't you love not to have to share this opportunity on a Friday night with Boise State?
Yeah, maybe in a perfect world, I'd agree. You know, like, it just is one of those things where the Friday night lights is, it's such a tradition around here. And we know we're going to lose a few fans out there to the BSU game. And, the BSU is incredible for the area. And obviously they're going to draw a big crowd themselves. But, when it came down to it, I think when the decision was made when the game would be in, and at what time and everything, it was the Friday night lights. I think it's what our town and what our student body wanted.
Coach, tell us a little bit about this team. I know you're busy. Let's get you back to your football team. But who are the players on this team that kind of make this click? Who are the difference makers on your roster?
Oh, wow. I could go on and on. I really got to say the team itself is where we put everything. I know that's cliche, but the team comes above all. But Gage Jones at DB has had a crazy good year. Donovan Jones at tight end is lighting it up. We had a kid move in from California. Was at Chaminade there named In Duarte that's electric. Jack Benson's had a tremendous year at quarterback for us, another move in. So we've been blessed with good players and that have had the right attitude. I know I'm missing, like, tons and tons of guys here. I feel bad, but those guys kind of stick out in my mind.
Well, Coach, I know what that's going to mean to that community if you guys are going to be able to survive and advance to a state championship opportunity. I know, I think Prater and myself, we want this thing in the Valley. We want Meridian versus Eagle for the state championship. And I will let you focus on the Highland Rams. Big one tomorrow night. And congratulations on the year. And let's see if we can keep it going a little further.
Yeah. Yep. I appreciate what you guys do for sports in the Valley. You guys are the best, so keep up what you guys do.
Appreciate you, Coach. Are we really the best, though, Prater? Is that just one man's opinion?
Well, we're the only ones. Okay. Yes. We're the best and the worst.
Good point. JP, I know this is going to be a fun Friday night tomorrow, but what's going on Meridian Rigby as well?
Meridian Rigby, they shared one common opponent in the season. And that was Madison. I don't know why Meridian played Madison late in the season, but they defeated them and Rigby lost to Madison. So that's literally the only common opponent they've had throughout the year. That's the other game tomorrow night. And, of course, we had John Zamberlin from Meridian on last week. He said his team was getting a lot healthier as they went along. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, 2016, we talked about that's the last time two Treasure Valley teams played for the state title. So,
JP, what's the plan if both the local teams win this week? What's the plan for next week? Do we know yet?
Boy, we do not know that. I reached out to Ty Jones over at the Idaho High School Activities Association. It would be a neutral field. They just don't know where it will be yet. And he did tell me that there's potential that they might have to play this game on a Thursday night, just because Boise State plays a home game again next Saturday. So
the state championship game being on a Thursday?
That would not be good.
You don't think
that
so?
That would not be good. But they were looking at maybe Boise State or maybe even the College of Idaho.
So, I'd almost say play the thing on a Thursday as opposed to competing with Boise State on a Friday night.
Well, Boise State plays next week on Saturday.
Right,
it's about whether the stadium would be ready or not. Right. I want the game to be played on a Friday night. In this day and age, you can play a game on a Friday night and have it ready on a Saturday night for Boise State football. We turn stadiums and arenas around all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Friday night, as it should be, Boise State. Big time audience, big time crowd, two local teams. Let's make it happen, guys.
I love it. Let's open up the Fat Guys Fresh Deli hotline. What are you doing tomorrow? What do you think of this? Let's talk. We all live in this valley. We want to hear from you folks. 208-424-9300. Maybe you have a relative or a son or you're part of Eagle or Meridian. You'd like to go see the Broncos, but heck, you just can't. It's high school state playoffs. We want to know the why. Where are you going? What are your thoughts on tomorrow night? Might be to 40,000 people at the same time watching live football in this valley. That's pretty cool. We'll take those calls when we get back on Sports Radio The Ticket.
You can multitask, stay with The Ticket tonight, and work away. We'll keep you posted on all breaking sports stories on Sports Radio 93.1 FM. The Ticket.
Sports Radio The Ticket, saluting our veterans on this Veterans Day, and we've got some that are great listeners of KTIK. Recognize this name, William Fackler, 26 years Air Force and Army Guard. He says he still works out at Gowan Field supporting soldiers, airmen, veterans, and retirees. And also going to give a shout-out to Chris Wing, who is a former Boise State football player. I reached out to him because I thought maybe he was one of the oldest guys to play here, but he was not. But him and his wife, both Air Force veterans. So we salute all of you, and thanks to every veteran out there, especially the ones listening right now.
I can still beat up Chris Wing. I'd like to take him
You'd
on
like
in a fight.
To what? You can still what?
I'm just joking. that dude is, he's never aged a second in his life.
I know.
And William Fackler, the guy you just mentioned, is a good buddy of mine, a close friend. I will say this, William, we do appreciate your service, but your wife is a hell of a lot more talented than you are. So,
wow.
So just take that for what it's worth.
We salute him, and then we insult him.
Yeah, Prater, you can't just let him have his day, bro. You gotta, that's like a true, you know, Prater, you know, he is a true friend. You know? Jab you in the side. I like it, guys. We're open right now. We got some lines still open, so jump on those right now at 208-424-9300. What's the plan tomorrow night? Yeah, you got two big-time playoff games in the Valley at Meridian High School and Thunder Stadium out in Eagle, and then you have a Boise State game against Wyoming. So there's going to be a lot of people watching football. Jack, you're up first. Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Jack, big plans tomorrow. How you gonna spindle this, man? How you gonna work this out?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say you brought up Chris Wing's name. I mean, that guy could sack a bag of potatoes from 20 feet away. I mean,
I still think he holds
no
the single season
asked.
Record.
Yeah.
22
I mean, that
sacks,
guy was amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm an old Meridian Warrior from back in the Wishbone days, played football and miss it dearly. And I've watched a lot of football games, high school football games on the internet this year. And I think Meridian, when they're at full strength with their starting quarterback, is so much more dynamic and capable than any other team I've seen. So I guess tomorrow will be a big test, although, you know, Madison beat Rigby. So I don't know, maybe it's not going to be that tough, but, I just think that the Warriors are, I think they're the best team in the state.
So does that mean you're still going to go to the Boise State game?
Actually, no. I'm going to go to the Meridian game.
All right.
Okay. All right, Jackie boy. You're true to your word on that. You're going to go see the Warriors play and hopefully advance to a state championship, man. Appreciate the call.
Right on.
All right, cool. He's going to Meridian High School. Okay, well, there you go, Jeremiah Dickey. There's one dude who you might have been able to count on in Jackie Boy, and he's going to go to Meridian High and watch that game. Where are you guys going? 208-424-9300. And any other thoughts on this matter, Prater? We'd love to hear what our listeners have to say on a Veterans Day.
You can also find a poll we just put out on our Facebook pages and our in the KTIK Idaho Sports Talk Twitter pages. Are you going to go to the Boise State game? Are you going to go to the Eagle 5A state semifinal? The Meridian 5A state semifinal? Or even threw in a question, football's not in the cards for tomorrow night. So far, it's about 90% Boise State. So I think Jeremiah Dickey's going to win this battle.
Absolutely. but like we said, we talked with, you know, Joe, Coach Arts with our Mountain West Bank prep rally there, and they'll have their people. But I think there is a group of people, because I've talked to them too, many folks who – they love Friday Night Lights, but when Boise State plays on Friday night, it trumps it, and it's a bummer, but they watch Friday Night Lights every other Friday during the football season. Boise State plays what? At the most, you're going to have three home games on a Friday night?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe
not, right?
At the most two. This year it's going to be two, right? UTEP and Wyoming, both on Friday nights, both got in the way of high school football. But in this case, kind of like what you're saying, the UTEP game, that got in the way of every single high school game in this valley from all classifications. This game just gets in the way of two of them, but those two games are really big. And I think if you're affiliated with any one of those schools, they're going to be tugging on you to stay away from the Boise State game for just this once and come support the high school stuff. So it's going to be fun to pay attention.
There's no doubt that those two stadiums are going to be packed in. You know, truth be told, I'm not really, I love every single Boise State game. We only get a chance for about six or seven of them every single year, and they're very valuable dates, and we treasure them in this valley big time. But I've never been a big fan of Wyoming football. They kind of muck it up, ugly it up. It's not going to be a pretty game. Ball game, I think you and I in the student section at Eagle High School getting after it would be a heck of a lot more fun. Maybe
not
the student section, but just finding some spice and just getting in there and just being a fan. High school football, packed crowd, just bodies crammed in there like you couldn't believe, and having some good old-fashioned high school fun, I think that'd be a blast.
I could maybe get us in there in the press box. I know some people at Eagle, Prater. Maybe we ditch Boise State tomorrow
night. I don't like to be in press boxes ball game. That's the stalest environment in a football stadium. You can have the press box. Give me the stands, the fans, and all the crazy stuff, my friend.
Let's go to Steve, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline, and we appreciate you, Steve, a veteran, calling us on Veterans Day. This is a win-win situation for Prater and myself. Steve, Friday night, man, what are we doing?
Well, we're working. Maybe catch the game afterwards if I can catch a ticket.
There you go.
Are you asking us for tickets right there, Steve? Is that your move?
You know, it could be.
If we had one, we'd give it to you, but we are out, man. I wish we had one.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, we'll, if I happen to have a friend that has an extra ticket, I might be able to catch the game.
Sure hope you do, Steve.
Steve is a veteran. Yeah, did he mention that?
Yeah, that would be awesome. What's Veterans Day mean to you, Steve?
Well, I'm a veteran, 30 years, Air Force and Army National Guard, and I love my time in the service, and I just appreciate all my brothers and sisters out there protecting us from everybody in the world and keeping our home safe.
Steve, you're the man. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller, JP, I believe. Isaiah, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, dude, I just want to weigh in. Actually, I was trying to figure out if I was going to go to the game or to the Meridian game, to the Boise State game or the Meridian game. But when it comes down to it, all we really have in the state of Idaho that's national is Boise State. And, I mean, we don't have, you know, even a G League team, that's, you know, a basketball game. That's my perspective as to why most likely the fans will go to the Boise State game as opposed to even just a awesome high school playoff game, you know, which who does the scheduling? How does that happen? How does it not know this is going to, you know, pan out this way? Boise State games are scheduled months in advance. We know that. How does it happen? That's my other question. And thank you very much for your time, fellas. Have a great night. Go Broncos and go Meridian.
There you go. How does that happen? Well, nobody plans for a state semifinal, so it happens. There's just way too many college football games and high school football games on a Friday anymore. I don't think anybody really worries about the scheduling. To each his own. The high school certainly could have moved it if they wanted to, but I'm glad they didn't. I think this Valley and these games, all three of these games are big enough where this Valley can support all three of them.
Yeah.
I expect full stadiums at all three of them. By the way, just to clarify, Chris Wing, our favorite Boise State football player / military veteran, does still hold the single season record for sacks. He's the only Boise State football player in history to have at least 20 sacks in a season. He had 20 on the spot in 1996, which probably goes down as one of the worst seasons in school history.
Well, I'll tell you this, that's a record, I'll say it right now, that will never be broken. There's not going to ever be a Boise State football player, in my lifetime at least, that's going to record a 21-sack season. That's really hard at the collegiate level. You rarely see 20 sack seasons in the NFL, man.
Curtis Weaver, I believe he left here as the all-time Mountain West sack leader. In 2019, he had 13.5. In 2017, he had 11. And he's pretty damn good.
Right? He's as good as it pretty much gets on that. Tommy boy, welcome to Idaho Sports Talk, Fat Guys Fresh Deli Hotline. Bring it, Tommy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good topic.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
We're checking it. First of all, there should never be a college football game on a Friday night. Should never be one.
Okay, that's fair.
Friday nights for high school. Second thing is, they couldn't be playing a less interesting opponent if they were playing San Jose State. So I think at best the crowd tomorrow at Boise State, and I'm not going to either. You know, I don't go west of Eagle Road, so I'm not going to the high school games. And the Boise State game, I just can't go. So to either one, I'd like to see one of them, but I can't go to Boise State. So I think the crowd tomorrow is, because it's a late start. It's a bottom feeder opponent. You know what? It's going to be a disappointing crowd tomorrow, and I want to see the highlights on TV where those two high school stadiums are packed, because that's what Friday nights are for. They're for high school football.
Appreciate you, Tommy. Yeah, my boy Jay Tusk going to be busy tomorrow night. Prater, what do you think the bigger matchup is? Just real quick, Meridian or Eagle?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Gotcha. I wonder where it's going to draw more people. We got 90-second soapboxes to hop on, and we'll do that. But first, real quick, we're your FM home for Boise State football. So tomorrow, when all this stuff is going on, tune it right here to KTIK at 2 p.m. That's when all our coverage begins. We got Bronco Game Day. We got the tailgate show. We got Prater and myself after the game, Bronco Game Night. So that's going to be fun right here on KTIK.
This is the all-new Idaho Sports Talk with Prater and the Vol Game. Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket. If you've got 3 minutes, we've got some self-important things to say. It's the 90-second Soapbox with Mike Prater and Johnny Mallory on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Not sure how many people listening to this actually went home and turned on ESPN Plus and watched the Vandals lose the home opener in overtime last night to Long Beach State. Well, I was one of them. They scored 89 points. They shot about 50% of their three-pointers. They had a lead pretty much the entire game, and then it went to overtime, and Long Beach pulled away, outscoring them 10-4. I'm going to go kind of easy on them. Like, I'm not about moral victories against Big West teams. Okay, you have to win that game. They should have won. They didn't. I love the new-looking arena, man. There's a good amount of fans there for the men's game last night. That was a fun atmosphere. That's what I've been asking for 15, 20 years, being a part of that university up there in the north, man. Get fun things to do. Get cool events. Get fun arenas and whatnot. Now, cool venues is what I wanted to say there. Zach Claus, we made our peace. I talked to you last time I went up there. I told you, I gave you a swirly last year. Basically, every time I talked about you, I'd put your head in the toilet and press flush. And I told you, and you said, hey, man, I deserved it. Well, this year, this is your prove-it year, Zach Claus and the Vandals. Not moral victories, not, oh, hey, they hung with Long Beach. We want winners. There's no reason the Idaho Vandals cannot have a quality Big Sky level basketball program. Let's get there. I liked what I saw last night. I just need to see the wins. Get off it!
Two monster signings in the NFL today. One of them has a warm, fuzzy feeling, and one of them's going to end up just cold and dirty like his track record says. I don't mind the Cam Newton to Carolina signing. I don't mind the money that he's going to be getting, big-time money. And I think it's kind of a big-time makeup for a 2015 season that went great for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. He was 15-1 that year, led him to the Super Bowl, monster MVP season with 45 touchdowns. And then it got really, really ugly, and Carolina divorced him and sent him on his way. Odell Beckham Jr., you're a nightmare everywhere you go. You're that typical wide receiver diva, and no matter what roster you end up on, you're going to end up just screwing it up. And in this particular case, he signs with the Los Angeles Rams and probably becomes number three or number four wide receiver in that wide receiver room. That's not going to work out well. Diva Boy wants to win a championship, and the Rams are certainly on track to win a championship. So I think they're 7-2 and could very well end up at a Super Bowl, and that's what he's trying to chase. But he'll figure out a way to screw it up. He'll figure out a way to lose his job. He'll figure out a way to be unemployed on the streets again. All while Cam Newton, I think this is going to work. I think he's humbled a little bit. He's been vaccinated now. He's coming back Superman with his cape tied between his legs. And I think he's a humble man and a humble quarterback who can do some nice things for a Carolina team that's pretty darn good. He's getting big money because it's a makeup call. OBJ, you're getting big money because you're a wide receiver diva. One's going to work out and one will not.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio The Ticket.
Just a reminder, coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, we have got tonight's Thursday night NFL game. And we've got the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson traveling into Miami to take on the Dolphins. 6 o'clock here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Of course, tomorrow night, Boise State, Wyoming. 7 p.m. kickoff at Albertson Stadium. That means our Bronco game day coverage here on 93.1 The Ticket starts at 2. Kickoff at 7, and then Prater in the ball game about 45 minutes after the game. Wyoming coach Craig Bohl, he's got the third leading rusher in the Mountain West, Xavier Valladay. Talked about what his player brings to the field.
You know, X has been a great leader. He's really matured through the years. He's an explosive runner. He's got great vision. He's a team guy. You know, we've been rotating backs. Making sure we've got some backs in there. We've been rotating sometimes four backs. And, you know, you never hear him complain well, how come I'm not getting more carries and things like that, because I got to look at my stats. He's very team-oriented, and he's got a lot of ability, and he's having a good year.
What are the what do you think his participation is going to be on your game night show tomorrow night? Xavien Valade. Will his name come up a lot or not? I believe Prater and Bob Beeler's segment today, you didn't think he was going to be much of a factor, or did I hear that wrong?
I'm going to say that Valade's name will not come up on Bronco game night tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was going to say very little. I think this is going to be a Boise State win. I don't think Wyoming's going to be able to run the ball the way they have this season or the way that they want to coming in here. And by the way, they have two backs, too. The other kid who's been playing in place of X, he sat out last year due to COVID. He's had a tremendous year. They both have, like, two running backs that have, like, over 500 yards rushing this season. They can run the football, JP, but, man, I am all over Boise State with this one tomorrow. I think they're going to handle them.
Finally, we're about 10 games into the NBA season, so I thought I'd check in on a couple of former Boise State players. Chandler Hutchison, who's now with his fourth team, is with the Phoenix Suns. He played about 6.5 minutes in the third game of the season and has yet to play again.
I was going to say that.
They played 10 games. Yeah, it's not been good for him. Derek Alston Jr., he's with the Salt Lake City Stars of the G League. They've only played two games, but he's got like 30 minutes per game. Didn't have the greatest game. His first game, only 2 points, but his second game the other night, 35 minutes, 12 points, 5 boards in a loss. And then Kobe Carl is now the head coach of the Delaware Bluecoats in the G League, and he's 1-0. So I was hoping we'd get a little more, you know, a little more Chandler Hutchison.
I've watched a couple of Suns games so far this year, just a couple, but he did not even sniff the floor, Prater. And I don't know. I mean, he's probably made enough where if he doesn't want to play basketball after this year, he doesn't have to. He can get into business or whatever the heck, or he goes overseas and continues to pursue basketball. Because Prater, right now, I don't know if Chandler Hutchison, and I like the kid, I don't know if he has any more opportunities in the NBA after this season. Certainly I'm not a GM or an agent or anything, but I can't see a lot of teams excited to bring him in and make him a part of what they're doing, because every team he's on, he just kind of sits there, man. It sucks.
I think he's got a spot in the NBA. Doesn't mean he has to be a superstar. It's pretty good living sitting on the bench at the end of this, you know, number 12 at the end of the bench. I'm sure he'd like to play more, but the way he plays defense, he's got long length, he's athletic, he can do certain things. He's going to be in the NBA for a long time.
Prater on the ball game, Idaho Sports Talk. Feedback finale, saluting all the veterans today on this Veterans Day edition. If there's a veteran, if you're listening right now and you served, just text us, 208-424-9300. Tell us your name, tell us where you served and whatnot, and maybe we'll read that if we have some time. So we're all set, Prater. Let's get out of here. KJIK the ticket.
The good, the not so good. Long form, short form. Tell us who you are. Or be anonymous. We'll take it all. It's time for the feedback finale on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Prater, I don't believe you've taken a shot at Logan the Voodoo Doll today. So name your point of contention.
Oh,
here.
Have we got an eye yet?
We've got an eye. Yes.
Oh, we do have an eye.
Yeah.
I want some fingertips.
Fingertips.
I know we've gotten him in the arms, but let's get him in the fingertips. Logan the Voodoo Doll, as we try to get Utah State to lose a football game, Logan is our Voodoo Doll. We will talk about Logan every single day and poke and prod Logan every single day until the Aggies lose a football game, hopefully this Saturday night against San Jose State.
They're 4.5-point underdogs. Utah State is to San Jose State. Come on. Not only do I want to eat San Jose State, Prater, I want to win by 5 or more. I'm asking more. Sorry, Voodoo Doll, I need a little more from you, too. I need you to cover the spread for me.
Couple of veteran salutes. How about the Nampa Flash? 23-year Air Force and Air Guard veteran. Thank you for your service. Vandal Kevin, Vandal Al. Vandal Kevin, Navy vet. And Vandal Al, Army Reserve for 10 years. Thank you guys for your service.
Nice.
How about Alicia from Kennewick, who wrote in today and said, we will be tailgating in the park tomorrow and getting super lit.
Oh, nice.
Walk into Bronco game and yell until we can't speak, and then Uber home for safety. Oh. That's the way you do it.
Alicia.
Atta baby.
How you doing?
Ontario Mikey wanted us to poke the voodoo doll, but he wanted to do it so he would hit his bets. That's not the way it works, Mikey.
You know, I say don't do that for Ontario Mikey, Prater, because I don't want to reverse hex the hex.
There might be some thought process to that. Yeah. I may be agreeing with you on that one.
Ontario Mikey, go to one of your stores out there and have some fun tonight.
Chad from Nampa, I have not heard anything or anybody pick the heart for Logan the Voodoo Doll. I would like to reserve that if I could, because I think San Jose State's going to take the heart right out of USU 23-17, a San Jose State win.
JP, well, make that happen.
That's a wonderful text right there, by the way.
Oh,
nice job.
There was already an X on his heart for some reason.
I got a lot of JP.
Now it's official. High school football tomorrow night, and Brady from Fruitland wrote in today and said, I think the big game this weekend in prep football is going to be Homedale versus Sugar Salem, Prater.
Nice.
These two teams have met the past 3 years in the 3A championship game, last three going to Sugar Salem. Ooh, that's not good if you're Homedale. I believe the winner is going to be the 3A champions. The running back from Homedale is a stud. I watched the Homedale last weekend. Homedale started slow. Anyways, he's a little high school football fan. As we're getting down to the last couple of weeks of our prep rally from Mountain West Bank, and thanks to John Hartz.
Next week will be it, huh? Dang it.
It will be.
Hart, yeah.
The local football season will be over next week. High school football and college football in terms of just home games.
Wow, that's depressing, Prater.
Yeah, sorry.
We have a bowl game, the 21st
that's
of
true.
December.
The Potato Bowl.
Dave from Twin Falls spent 4 years in the Air Force from 82 to 87, 2 years at Ramstein, Germany, sandwiched around two assignments statewide. Thank you, Dave, for your service.
Nice, especially a proud Twin Falls Bruin doing a service for this country.
And we got a text on the Cloverdale Plumbing text line. Waterboard Logan until he admits the Aggies have no business in the Mountain West Conference Championship.
We would do that, but Johnny gets uncomfortable when we start talking about waterboarding. He's okay with poking a pin inside of a voodoo doll, although we had to talk him into that one a little bit.
Yeah,
we've brought up waterboarding in the past, and it makes Johnny uncomfortable.
I still don't even fully understand what it is.
It's not good. It's a form of torture is what it is.
Yeah. And Prater likes it?
Well, we're talking about a voodoo doll.
Yeah, I wouldn't
we're
say
not
I like
doing it.
It is an effective use of torture if you ever need to use it. Your little sister.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind. My girlfriend.
Chris Wing just texted me and said, give a shout out to Shane McKenna, Afghanistan war vet and Bronco.
I remember him.
Do you remember Shane McKenna, Prater?
Yes. Yes. I love that. No. Afghanistan. That's big time. You and I are stuck in this studio ball game. Somebody's out there and taking care of business.
And our good friend Darren College.
He's got way too much love on social media today. Everybody's sucking up to College on social media today.
Oh, Prater.
He was in Wisconsin this week doing some speeches.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking to, I think, some vets there.
Still, you'll get some of that Packer love still. You know, when you're a Super Bowl champion, especially in that town, Prater, they remember you forever.
And a military hero.
Yep.
So I believe that's it. We've given Logan, the doll, some stickage.
Oh,
and,
Logan.
And we've saluted some veterans today. I think we did a good job, guys.
Oh, little Logie.
Ball game, you and I are reuniting tomorrow at 2 o'clock, 2:55 to be specific, Bronco game day.
Ooh.
Coverage tomorrow.
What's the topic?
We're going to talk about four Boise State NFL prospects and whether they'll be back next year or not.
Ooh, nice.
Our coverage begins tomorrow at 2 p.m. There is no Idaho Sports Talk. 2 p.m. Bronco game day. What, 4 p.m. the Bronco tailgate. We have the Bronco pregame show. We have the game here. And following the game, your favorite, Bronco game night. About 40 minutes after the game tomorrow, Prater and I taking your calls right here on KTIK. Till then, Prater, well done today.
Likewise, buddy.
See ya!
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.